In this episode of Life After Lockdown, I speak to my longtime friend Kim in rural Australia. Kim is a nurse and has been working as a critical care nurse throughout Australia's coronavirus. Here's how she does just that, with a little black humour thrown in along the way. Hi, and welcome to the show, Kim. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be here today.
That's okay. Thanks for inviting me.
We've been friends for many moons since we were teenagers and shared a year 8 English class. I can barely
remember. Do you remember those dates? We were sitting on the right hand side.
I remember that.
Back on the best days of my life. No, in the middle.
Yeah, sounds about right. So you're a nurse and you've lived in rural Australia for all of your career. Can you tell us about you?
Sure. So I grew up in the Blue Mountains my whole life, but I was never a city sort of person, and I'd always wanted to move to the country. So as soon as I finished my Bachelor of Nursing, I was out of there. So I've worked in some small rural communities in New South Wales with large Indigenous populations, had a lot to do with Indigenous health, which has been interesting. I've seen the other sides of health where it is difficult to access and you have to wait a while, a lot of social isolation, which I suppose is relevant to what we're talking today, with family having to transfer down to capital cities, so they might be 5-6 hours away from their loved ones during difficult times, or even just, you know, coming to where we are at a base hospital might be 2-3 hours away. So I met my wonderful husband while taking care of patients, and now we have moved to Victoria from New South Wales, and we've got 2 little girls, and I am loving homeschooling.
And is that genuine?
I love it. Well, I don't love it. I do like it. I like to see what she's doing, and I like to help, and it is fun. School's so much funner now than what it was before.
Then you're at English class. 2020 has recently been declared the year of the nurse and midwife by the World Health Organization. Would you talk about your experience of working on the front lines through coronavirus?
It has been, to start off with, a bit scary because of the unknown. Don't sort of know what to expect, what to happen. There's not been much research done or good research that's been peer-reviewed. So a lot of the stuff that we've been looking at is stuff that's been coming out from other countries, what they've experienced. It hasn't had sort of the rigorous investigation that you would normally expect for, you know, health articles. That's been quite difficult to deal with. And because it's constantly changing, it means that our policies and procedures are constantly changing and we're constantly practicing. So, for example, when we're practicing our intubation drills, it keeps getting changed to be fine-tuned with new stuff that's been coming out, particularly from, you know, America and Italy with what's been happening over there. It's just frustrating as well with the turnaround of the time it takes for the swabs to come back. So as you know, there's massive shortages of PPE across the world. Mm. And we started off with a 24-hour turnaround. And now we've been up to 4 to 5 day turnaround to get our results back, particularly because of the increased blitz of swabs that Victoria have been doing. So it's been really clogging up that system. So we've been using all this PPE for patients for 4 or 5 days when maybe it should have only been for 24 hours. And that's really frustrating. Although in saying all of that, morale is fairly good. And we're all trying to keep everyone's spirits up and have a bit of a joke and a laugh at work where we can, just to help everyone get through it. And I think it helps the patients as well because it's a bit scary for them being in those rooms by themselves.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And speaking of humour, before we started this call, you mentioned to me that nurses are known a bit for their black humour.
Yes. if you're ever with a nurse, and they're talking and it seems quite inappropriate, I apologise for all of my nursing colleagues out there. We're not doing it because we're being mean. We're doing it because sometimes we see some really awful stuff and that's how we get through it, is by having a bit of a joke and a laugh, because if you don't, you'll end up burnt out and you'll end up in a heap.
At the risk of stereotyping, I mean, Australians in the country are a little different to Australians in the city, aren't they? I feel like people are just a bit more direct, appreciate that kind of humour, whereas I think for us city slickers, we're a little bit more sensitive to that. I don't know. I mean, the times I've visited you and the various places you've lived, people have just been a bit more, yeah, for that
sense of humour. This is how it is.
Yeah, this is how it is. So I want you to tell me too a little bit about, just briefly, the nature of lockdown in Victoria, because Victoria has kind of become known for how well it has managed this crisis. The Premier there, Daniel Andrews, has really received a lot of praise for his handling of the crisis, both his communications and the way that he's been able to level off the numbers fairly quickly of cases and get things under control. Do you want to talk to me a bit about what that has been like, what the lockdown has involved for you, particularly you as a frontline worker? What's that meant for you day to day?
I think Daniel Andrews has done a good job. And I agree with most of the stuff he's done. He's been probably one of the strictest, but it's been quite clear. I get notifications on my phone twice a day as to what's happening with the pandemic and where we're at, what we can and what we can't do. So it's been quite clear as to, you know, what needs to be done. We decided as a family to stop sending Annabelle to preschool. So we could have kept sending her, but we decided that it just wasn't worth the risk. We also decided that I would be, because I'm sort of out and potentially in contact with people, that I would be the designated person to go and run errands in town. So my husband and the kids have been here at home basically the whole time, and I've been the one that's been going out to do the shopping and whatever else needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Out and about in town, just to limit their contact with people that are out and about. When I get to work, we have our temperature scanned to make sure that we're not febrile. We've got quite strict hand washing procedures in place. When we're at work, we're only allowed to have four chairs in the tea room and four staff. So we used to go and have our breaks together, which was really good for sort of team bonding, but now we have to split our breaks up and sort of be in small groups. There's not as much mixing with people that's going on. We have to maintain our distance as best as we can when we're at work, which can be quite difficult. A lot of the places around the area have closed, which has been quite tough. They rely a lot on tourism and, you know, sort of farmers markets and those sorts of things. So they're all closed. I think as we've recently moved here and we're on 8 acres, it didn't affect the girls too much because they've had room to move and room to explore. Whereas it's a bit different for my niece who lives in a apartment in Switzerland, who hasn't been allowed out of the apartment. I think for the youngest though, she's quite outgoing and quite extroverted. And she had a lot more tantrums, or they've increased. I would say the meltdowns have increased a bit, and I think that's because she's not getting out and having some sort of external stimulation. And I think for Steve, a few times I noticed a bit of a decline in his mental health. But I think that wasn't just from being at home, but also for what's going on and the unknown in the future. He's gone from a government job to now being at home, and he's quite concerned that the plan was for him to return to work next year. Where, how is he going to get a job with the amount of, you know, people that are now jobless and the economy and the decline that it is and heading into a recession? What's that going to look like for him? So I thought that's been playing on his mind.
In terms of lockdown, you were talking a little bit before about some of those low points and difficulties, particularly for the family because they've been in the house all the time. Have there been some highlights? What have been some of the best moments for you guys as a family?
So we've been cleaning up the property, which meant that we did have bonfire night one night, which was fun. So got the kids got their camp chairs out around the fire and
were there marshmallows?
No, someone ate them all before they got to the fire. Don't know where they went. So, no, I did go looking for the marshmallows. That was going to be dessert. They were gone. But, yeah, the kids thought that was a bit of good fun to sort of go out. And it rains here. So that's been fun. We've really enjoyed the rain. And we've just been cleaning up around the place, pulling trees over and pulling out old branches and mowing and getting stuff ready to try and get some livestock on the land. So I work in a critical care unit. We get the sickest of the sick, which can be quite challenging, especially if they've got a breathing tube down and they're on life support. It's one-to-one nursing, so you've got to be with them and next to them the whole time because you don't want them sort of waking up from their sedation trying to pull their tube out. So to go in there, you have to have your gown on, your gloves on, your face mask on, which has to have a seal, which means that you're re-breathing in your breath the whole time. And there's been they figured out now that the reason why nurses are getting headaches from wearing masks is because they actually have increased carbon dioxide levels in their bloodstream, which is causing headaches from rebreathing their breath in. Goggles and a hairnet. And it's like a plasticky, papery material that the gowns are, and it's hot. And it's uncomfortable. And you end up in a room with the patient with all their infusions and their ventilator, and you can't take any paperwork in with you, so you end up having to write down all your observations, all your notes, and stick it onto the window so one of the nurses on the other side can transcribe all of your observations for you. So you're really relying, you're basically there to take care of the patient what you can in the room, but you're relying on a nurse on the outside to go and make your drugs up, make your infusions up. We've now got walkie-talkies, so we use walkie-talkies to talk to each other. To be able to say, hey, I need this drug, or I'm about to run out of this infusion, can you make me another one up? You're probably in there all dressed up for at least 3 hours, up to 4 hours, and when you come out you are very sweaty, you're hot, you haven't been able to have a drink, you haven't been able to eat. And when you are out, you don't really get a break because then you need to document all the things that you've done in that room for those 4 hours to make sure that it's all written down. So pretty much for the 8.5 hours or 10.5 hours if you're night shift, you're either gowned up, gloved up, feeling very hot, can't scratch your nose, and you always get an itchy nose when you've can't touch it. It's very hot. It's very frustrating. And you feel isolated as a clinician as well because you're on the other side of the door. No one can pop in and out and see how you are. So all the nurses that are out there, they are doing it tough and it is hard. And you do hope that you don't accidentally make a mistake and breach when you're taking your PPE off or when you're in the room. And you don't know if you're going to get that infection or not. Luckily we haven't had any cases come through, but we've had multiple suspected cases, and you know, it only takes one little slip and one little accident to put you at risk. We've got what they call a bio buddy, so we've got someone who watches us put our PPE on to make sure it's on correctly before you go into the room. And when you come out of the room and you're in your designated space to take it all off, you've got someone else watching you to make sure that you're taking it off properly as well, and to say, right, this is what you need to take off next to make sure that it's done correctly. So there is quite a lot involved, and it's quite frustrating because if you need to get into that room quick, the patient needs you, you just can't do it. You can't get in there quickly. It takes, you know, probably a good 5 minutes to put all of your gear on properly and have it checked before you can go in, and that can mean life or death to a patient.
Does it feel like a long 3 hours, or is it a really busy 3 hours?
It depends on the patient and how sick they are. Sometimes it can be really long if there's they're quite stable and not much going on. Yeah. Sometimes if they're really unstable, you are on the go for the whole 3-4 hours, and there's not much that you can do about it. Just hope that the people that you're working with are going to, you know, back you up and able to do what you need them to do. You're a nurse, and that's what you do, and it's just part of your work. You don't do it for praise or anything like that. It's, you know, that's what you're trained to do. You turn up to work. You do what you need to do for your patient. You hope you do the best that you can. And then you go home and then repeat it all the next day.
Are you exhausted? How are your energy levels at the moment?
You know what? Better than what they were before, because everything's shut down. I'm not having to worry about taking the kids to school or going to swimming lessons or going to gymnastics or going to netball training. So it's just work at home, and that's actually been quite nice.
Kim, thank you so much for not just for speaking to me today, but really it's extraordinary. You are putting your life on the line and going out there and going above and beyond in keeping people safe. And you're doing it with a family and having just moved. I think you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to chat to you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Before I go, a few words about the podcast. You can now find updates about the show and news about what's going on more broadly with lockdown and life in Washington, D.C. on my Instagram page. Find the show at heidi.lipson. And I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a message and tell me what you think of the show and share your feedback with me. If you enjoy what you're listening to, please give a rating and leave a review. It helps other people find the show. Thank you for listening so far, and I hope these stories are leaving you feeling more connected in the time of coronavirus and lockdown, when we're finding a new rhythm to our lives. Until next time.